Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
5 o'clock as they are continuing to move through this season and play the New York Yankees. Last night, not the greatest, right? Not the greatest. And I think we all kind of probably puked a little bit when...
And the 2-1 pitch. And a swing and a blast. Deep right field and gone. Wow. Wells, a long home run, a 3-run homer. And the Yankees lead it 7-4. He crushed it.
Yeah, it's tough because as I'm eating dinner and kind of keeping an eye on that game at the same time, I'm intrigued. And I'll tell you why. The Royals, you know, they get out to an early lead. It's, I believe, you know, 1-0. Then it's 2-0. Salvador Perez kind of put the team on his back.
Mm-hmm.
And then here come the Yankees. But then here comes Hunter Renfroe. And I'm like, okay, the boys are fighting. They're showing some life. And then it's 4-4. And I'm like, all right, tie game. You know, we're in the seventh inning. Of course, it's Aaron Judge. It ties the game. He's the MVP. Like, whatever. And then good old MacArthur comes out. And 3-run home run, 7-4. Game, set, match.
Yeah, and then you get gasoline thrown on the fire by Stratton in the ninth inning, who gives up 3 more. But it was long over by then when James Mick can't pitch anymore, comes in and just decides to light this thing on fire. 3 hits, 4 runs, a walk, and that home run to Austin Wells. I think we're finding out right now James Mick can't pitch anymore is not part of the postseason, okay? This guy can no longer be considered anywhere near the postseason roster. Mm. He's not getting the job done. He has a 5 ERA. The same thing goes with Stratton, right? He gives up 3 runs in the ninth inning yesterday to a playoff team. His ERA is pushing, you know, 5.5 at this point in time. And so I'm going to choose to take a small little positive approach on this and say what we see with the Chiefs in the regular season, sometimes they do things you don't like and you question and maybe they lose a game in the regular season. Mm. Maybe the Royals are just now trying with the last 16 games or whatever it is, trying to truly figure out who is going to be on that postseason roster and put these guys in position to see how they will respond when the moment is big. And we saw two guys last night, Mick can't pitch here anymore, and Stratton. Those guys clearly have shown me they're not ready for the big stage. They're not ready to be out there, and they're not ready to be part of this postseason thing. I thought Brady Singer had a decent night last night. I thought he was good. His big moment, striking out Aaron Judge early on with 2 runners on. I'm like, that's a big moment. Maybe Brady Singer can be a guy guy that you can put out in the bullpen if you're not going to use him in that first series in a starting role, because I think he could give you some quality work out of the bullpen in the postseason much better than we've seen of late. And it's too late to sign Trevor Bauer now for him to be on your postseason roster. That needed to be done by September 1st. So you're going to have to figure out things internally to get yourself ready to go for the postseason. And so while you had that big Singer moment last night in the starting rotation, maybe you see a moment like that with Brady Singer in the seventh inning against Houston or New York or whoever the case may be. Maybe that's the role that Brady Singer is going to bring to this team, and he's going to pitch in the postseason. But there were other things last night. I mean, Salvi throwing the ball around the yard last night, even though he went 4-for-4 at the plate, his throws were a big part of why this team had, you know, their struggles with the Yankees last night. But I think it's also okay to take a look at the big picture and say, yeah, the Royals are a playoff team, but it doesn't seem like they match up great with the two teams that are clearly better than everybody else in the American League right now, and that's the Yankees, that's the Houston Astros, and even the Baltimore Orioles. I don't think the Royals match up great with those three teams. And so you had the opportunity last night, and got another opportunity again today to turn it around and see what it's all about. But I think what the Royals are showing is that they are a playoff team, but they may not be a great playoff team, and that's okay. We don't expect them to be a playoff team, but it also goes to show you this offseason, J.J. Piccolo better operate like Brett Veach and go out there and add mass arms to that bullpen, because this thing right now is just not very good.
I'm still not worried, because I think you can absolutely revamp your bullpen when it comes to the playoffs. Obviously, you will have Lorenzen coming back. You will move two of your starters to the bullpen, which will probably be Brady Singer and Alec Marsh. I think we talked about it yesterday that the rotation is set. I believe it will be Lugo, Reagans, and Waka as your three guys that will spear the head of your rotation to the playoffs. And I'm not worried about who you play in the playoffs, because how great your starting pitching and defense can be and what you can take into that, and the escalating pressure that happens. You think there's pressure in Kansas City to win a World Series? Not really.
No, there isn't.
You think there's pressure in New York to win a World Series?
Oh, God, yes.
Through the roof.
Through the roof.
Right?
They haven't won since 09.
Right.
Okay,
and
that's a long time ago.
That's right. And I don't think the Royals have won in New York for like 14 straight games,
well,
which
it's
is
been
tough.
A while, yeah.
But again, you throw those guys out there, you add your bullpen, you know, addition by subtraction. I'm with you. Like, I don't need to see MacArthur throw another baseball when the game's tied.
No,
I just don't need to see it.
I mean, MacArthur from here on out is available when you're up or down 11-2. And that's it.
And again, someone brings up MacArthur prior to last night had 11 of 12 scoreless innings or outings. He's been leveraged of late. He will be needed, not going anywhere.
His ERA is a 5. Let's stop making excuses.
But if we're going to look at one sample size, we need to look at the other, and we can see that from the entire year, he has not been dependent. And when you get to the playoffs, you got to be a little bit more crisp. You got to be a little bit more polished. And I can't honestly give that man the baseball in a tie game in the seventh inning or later and be like, just keep it tied. I don't have that trust. Whereas, like,
no.
I understand Brady Singer is a starter. I would just feel much better if Reagans went 6 innings and then you went to Brady Singer for the 7th, you went to Lorenzen for the 8th, and you went to Irsig for the 9th. I would feel much better about that than going to Schreiber or Anderson and MacArthur and then Irsig, because that's what you have the ability to do in the playoffs. And if it's not Singer, you know, Lorenzen, you have Marsh, you have Irsig, you have maybe Hunter Harvey, who a lot of people for some reason don't like because he was too nerve-wracking on the mound. But again, when you're going to go for this run and you're going to go for this sort of playoff like push and what you could possibly do with this team because of its speed, its defense, and its starting pitching, you just can't have that sort of hanging in the balance feeling of, hey man, you know, 11 of 12 were great, but that opportunity that can happen in the blink of an eye, and maybe MacArthur just shouldn't pitch in New York. Again, another thing that I hate about it is that baseball is the only sport where the dimensions just seem to be acceptable to be different.
Yeah, Hunter Renfro took advantage of it last night,
sure
there
did.
Too. You know?
So did Salvador Perez.
So did Salvador
Perez.
Power
right.
Right. Yeah, both of those guys parked one last night, took advantage of the ballpark. So you're playing in it as well. I don't get into the ballpark stuff. That's just the way it is. But MacArthur is his baseball card. I mean, his career regular season is a 4.90 ERA. He's at 5 right now. And in his last 7 games, for whoever said MacArthur's doing good, his last 7 games, he's 1-2 with a 7.5 ERA. That's not good on any level. He's not a reliable guy. And quite frankly, guys, guys. I don't care what MacArthur does against Cleveland. I don't care what he does against the Twins. What he's needing to do is get outs when it matters most on the big stage, and he hasn't been able to do that. We saw last night, you know, with the Yankees. And then you go back to August 30th. He faced the Houston Astros, gave up a run in that game as well in two-thirds of an inning pitch. So those are the teams that you have to find a way to beat. It's not Cleveland and Minnesota or even Boston and Detroit at this point in time. It is New York. It is Houston. It is Baltimore. Those are the three teams that are in front of you. Can James MacArthur pitch and get guys out in those lineups? I don't know that the answer is yes right now. And I know I don't have confidence in him right now. Can the rest of the team have confidence in him? I don't know. They've got to figure this bullpen thing out. And I think they will. But it also, it doesn't guarantee you that all of a sudden if Brady Singer gets put into the bullpen, he's going to achieve success. Because we know baseball excuses are built in.
Right.
Oh, he's never pitched in the bullpen. He doesn't know how to warm up and sit down and warm up and all these nonsensical things that people like to throw out there from a baseball excuse standpoint.
Right.
So we don't know if that's going to translate over. You just have to hope that some of these guys are going to get it done. Will Smith's not going to be an answer for you in the playoffs. Stratton's probably not going to be an answer for you, you know, in the postseason. MacArthur's showing that he's not going to be an answer for you in the postseason. They've got to find who that answer is. And right now, as far as I'm concerned, in the bullpen currently, Urcig's your only reliable guy.
And to be fair, nothing really changed. Twins lost last night. Obviously, Cleveland won, but they're playing the White Sox. And then Baltimore lost.
And the Tigers are just now three games back of a playoff spot. So Minnesota better be worried about them.
Still 5.5 away from the
Tigers
Rams.
Open a three-game series against the Rockies.
Coming up on the other side, we ask you, are you taking the over-under of this AFC team that started off 1-0 in this year's season? Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll be joined by former wide receiver of the Kansas City Chiefs, Danon Hughes. You are currently listening to 96.5 The Fan. We call this show Fesco and Dusty. It is produced by our executive producer, Mac Morey. We asked earlier in the year, over under 5.5 wins is what we're at now.
That's where I'm setting it at anyway.
Over under 4.5 wins before the season for the one and only New England Patriots. Bob, are you going over or under for 5.5 wins for the New England Patriots?
Still taking the under on this one.
They can't win 5 more games.
No, I don't think they can. That was a big fluke win. Okay. I know people like to buy in and go, ooh, maybe the Patriots are... No, they're not. They're a bad football team, and they got a team with the Bengals that clearly wasn't focused on the game at hand, so no, I don't think they're going to win another 5 games. I still think that 4.5 is probably one where you would probably lean towards the under on as well. Even with that one win, I just don't think the Patriots are a very good team.
Mac?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Bob. I think the defense is good. I thought that before the season, and they proved to be against the Bengals. I mean, what is looking to be maybe a trash Bengals team. We'll see.
Yeah.
But the rest, I'm going to go under because of the schedule. I mean, Seahawks, that's their easiest game over the next 7 weeks. After that, at Jets, at 49ers, Dolphins, Texans, Jaguars, Jets. I mean, they don't get a break until they play the Titans in November.
Well, you said they had the Jets twice.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Yeah, so no, I'm going to go under here. It's close, but under.
I'm going to take the over. Because the NFL is full of parity, and I think...
There's a lot of very marginal teams this year,
and
you know?
That's what I'm saying, and we nailed it, by the way, with our rankings this morning. I said it would be the Chiefs, the Niners... The Lions and the Ravens, that's exactly what NFL Stats on Twitter has it at.
I think that's where you have your top four teams. I don't really think there's much arguing over those top four teams. Like, I don't think anybody would have a different fourth team, right, other than those four. From 5 to 32, right? When you look from 5 to 32, now your bottom, you got Carolina and the Giants as two of your bottom teams. So maybe from like 5 to 30, that's kind of a jumbled mess right now, right? It's kind of a jumbled mess. And, you know, I know everybody's ready to, you know, put Cincinnati out to pasture. But as we've talked about, this is how they start every year. Mm. And then they figure it out. And all of a sudden they're there at the end and they're in the postseason. You're going, where the hell did Cincinnati come from? So I'm not ready to quite throw dirt on Cincinnati yet. We'll make that determination maybe by October of where they are. But from 5 to 30 in this league, there's a lot of marginal teams. And I think when you start looking at these power rankings each week, I think those 5 to 30 teams are going to change a lot. There's going to be a lot of movement in there because you just don't know who really is a good team and who really is a bad team, and there's a lot of very marginal teams right now.
So you look at New England's schedule, I think they can beat the Jets one out of two times. I think they could beat the Jaguars. If I'm being honest, I think they could beat the Titans. I think they could beat the Bears.
The Titans one is interesting to me, Dusty, because you were up 17-0 on the Bears. Mm-hmm. Did you hear what the coach of the Titans said yesterday about his team? Mm-hmm. He goes, we should have just punted on first down and we would have won the game.
Yeah.
This is the coach, Tommy Callahan, off the auto parts line, coaching football for the first time after his first game. He says we would have been better off punting on every first down than trying to play offense. If you're Will Levis, man, you better be pounding mayo, because your coach clearly, after 1 week, has no faith in you as the quarterback out there. And they probably would have won had they punted it, because Caleb Williams stinks.
Speaking of pounding mayo, I think that New England could beat the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's four more wins.
You think four or five more wins? All right.
And then hopefully they beat the Chargers on December 29th.
Do you think the Chargers will matter at that late in the season? I'm hoping the Chargers have checked out by then, too.
I don't know.
I don't like them at all. So, I don't know, man. Like, New England just doesn't do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I think they're still a quarterback away. I don't know what Gerard Mayo is like truly as a head coach, but they got a little momentum in that game against Cincinnati. We'll see if they're able to carry that momentum forward. We'll see if they're able to play with that momentum, or if they'll just kind of recede back to the pack. But the Jets one, as you mentioned as well, I mean, I'm not picking them to beat the Jets because I don't have any faith in the Patriots, but it's not like I've got this overwhelming faith in the Jets after watching Boring Rodgers play last night. I mean, he looked as pedestrian as Will Levis did in that game.
You don't think that, you know, possibly Miami could have a fumble against New England, or you could have Buffalo has a fumble against New England?
Potentially has something like that. I don't know what Buffalo is about right now. I know they're about Josh Allen, and I was thoroughly impressed with the way that Josh Allen took over that game on Sunday. I don't know what else Buffalo can do. I have no idea if Buffalo is going to be any good this year, or if it's just going to be a Josh Allen show. And if he doesn't, you know, have a touchdown rushing and a touchdown passing, they don't stand a chance to win a football game.
He's a 4 handicap, and he's number one in your hearts when it comes to receivers for the Chiefs pass players, and he joins us now. His name is Dane Hughes. He's brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Let's get into Dane Hughes. He joins us here on Fesco and Dusty.
You hear him on game days in the booth.
Quickly, they get chunky and funky with stretching the field vertically.
And Thursday nights at 6 during Players Only.
Spitfire, hot fire take.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Dinan Hughes, on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. We're joined now by Dinan Hughes, again, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Dinan, how the heck are you on this Tuesday morning?
What's going on, fellas? Victory Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
I'm excited. We got the Bengals coming in, feeling, I guess they'll probably be feeling a little confident because of their success here in GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. But after that loss, I'm not so sure. So we'll see how it all unfolds.
You know, I saw somebody, I want to say it was one of the McCourties, that had the comment the other day that, you know, we've got to stop talking about the AFC Championship game and the Bengals winning that game. It's one game that they came in here and won, and everybody talks like that's happened 18 times since then. And I heard that. I'm like, you know what? He's right about that. The Chiefs right now at this point in time are clearly superior to the Cincinnati Bengals. They have a wide receiver out. Joe Mixon's no longer part of this team. They got beat by the New England Patriots. Like, what are you thinking early week as the Bengals get ready to creep onto the schedule?
So, yeah, Bob, I don't know if it's so much about them winning, but I think it's like the whole package of them winning that AFC championship, the dynamic of, you know, talking trash about Burrowhead, the whole Jamar Chase not wanting to say Patrick Mahomes' name. It's like, you know, we remember when the Raiders came in and stomped on the logo, and then we stomped on them in that game. It's like there's some teams out there that just want to have that extra, you know, that extra boost, or they just give you that extra juice from a Chiefs fan that you just want to kind of bury them. And I feel like that's where the Bengals are now. And just the fact that, yeah, okay, they got that win. We weren't able to go to, you know, consecutive Super Bowls at that time. And you just hold it against them. And then they just keep adding to the fire because of all these antics and the swagger that they have that I don't think they deserve in this day and age. But it's kind of the in totality when you go back It just feels like this is the rivalry in the AFC that everybody wants to see, that we add a little juice to as well. So it should be a fun Sunday afternoon.
But is it that rivalry, though, Danen? Because I'm maintaining right now what we saw on Thursday night with Baltimore fighting tooth and nail and literally losing by a toenail in that game, you know, out of the back of the end zone. I think Baltimore is by far the second best team in the AFC.
Oh, I wouldn't disagree. I think when you look at, okay, Baltimore, Buffalo, and Cincinnati, like, those are the three teams that, like, you can make an argument that they would be rivals to us. I don't think it's anybody necessarily in the AFC West, but, like, those three teams in the AFC, you'd say, okay, those are rivals. We had the 13-second game with Buffalo. We had, you know, the toenail game this last week. We had the AFC Championship in Baltimore, obviously beating Buffalo on their field to go to the AFC Championship. So I feel like those three teams are probably like the 1A, 1B, 1C as far as rivalries, and then everybody else kind of filters down below it. So the fact that the schedule makers made our season go through Arrowhead for the first two games with Baltimore and now the Bengals, who are supposed to be the two top teams in the AFC North, that's kind of where the fire goes. And then from there, we'll go on the road and we'll have to dissect some NFC opponents. But like, I just feel like Burrow, Mahomes, always getting compared. You got Jamar Chase that doesn't even want to say his name. All of that stuff just kind of adds to it.
When you see a team, Danen, kind of act this way, does it show you as an opponent? Because obviously the Chiefs won't react to what they say. Last year, Jamar Chase had his, you know, hogwash about nothing sticks out on the defense. But when you see a team do that, does that let you know early signs of maybe, like, you know, insecurity, or, you know, they feel less superior to you because they know that the only way to get inside your head maybe is smack talk?
Well, yeah, I think there's a part of that. But I also think it's like, you know, like you say, with the insecurity, it's not so much about them trying to get inside our head. Maybe it's for them to kind of get inside their heads. Mm-hmm. Like, they have to figure out ways to boost themselves up. And, you know, Jamar Chase, for whatever reason, like, just because you give props to Patrick Mahomes doesn't mean that you're giving less props to your own quarterback. Like, you can have both things at the same time. Patrick Mahomes has more than earned the respect of any NFL player, regardless of whether you're playing against them or not, or if you're a rival. So the fact that, like, that's childish to not want to say his name, and maybe if that's some sort of boost to your team, so be it. But I think it's ridiculous. I think it's not necessarily fitting of the NFL. Like, you give props to the other team, and then you go try to smack them in the mouth between the lines. And then at the end of the game, you exchange jerseys, or you give handshakes, or you meet each other by the bus and have a couple of cocktails, and that's it. Like, that's how it's supposed to be. But when you start adding all these other layers and, you know, this fictitious kind of battle between Burrow and Patrick Mahomes, and you make the complaints about the late hit out of bounds, and if that wouldn't have happened, then this would have happened, and calling it Burrowhead, I think it's just like you're going over the top unnecessarily.
It seems like there's always something with Jamar Chase. Like, I feel like he's been complaining about his contract since the day he was drafted. Then he's taking the shots at the Chiefs. And it's like every year there's something, you know, with Jamar Chase that's taking away from the performance on the field.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not necessary because, you know, he's one of the top receivers in the league.
Yeah.
And I get it. From a player standpoint, you want to maximize your opportunities. Tomorrow is not an automatic, especially at that position. You blow out an Achilles, you blow out a knee, and now all of a sudden you don't have an opportunity to maximize your income. So I get it. He's definitely earned the way to get to the top five, top three receivers as far as paid in the NFL, I believe. But at the same time, there's a business side.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like the NFL and a lot of teams at times do a lot of the players a disservice. I know we're getting a little off topic here, but they do a lot of players disservice because you can't tell me that the Cowboys didn't know a month ago that they was going to extend Dak Prescott. You can't tell me that they didn't know a month or two ago based on the capologist, the people that they hire, they're like rocket scientists. Like, these guys knew where the cap was, what money they had available to these players, and then to make them wait until the last minute, literally for Dak to sign that extension, it just goes to show you from the business side, like, there's never a time where I will go against a player right. for holding out or asking for money, because these teams know that they have it. They just kind of hold it on a string over the head of the players until they feel like giving it. It has nothing to do with the cap, has nothing to do with their availability, because when they make amends, they make ways to make it happen regardless. We've never seen a situation where a team said, you know what, we just don't have it to sign them. We won't have it. We can't make it happen. They can make it happen for players that they want to make happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm all for him in regards to trying to get the most money he can get. But at the same time, the other antics kind of take away from it.
Would you be more surprised if the Cincinnati game ends with another field goal with time ticking away, or if the Chiefs win by more than one score?
Well, if you go by this past weekend, the fact that they couldn't really put points on the board at home against New England makes you kind of wonder if they can put points on and go blow for blow and throw for throw against Patrick Mahomes. I feel like they'll put more points on this week. Maybe last week was a reality check for them. Maybe they kind of overlooked the New England Patriots, and they won't do that against the Chiefs. Whether it comes down to a field goal at the end, we have a knack for playing close games. I don't think it's indicative of our inability to win, obviously. But we play close games, but hopefully it doesn't come down to a last-second field goal.
Danon Hughes with us here on 610 Sports Radio. Of course, you can – or I'm sorry, 96.5 The Fan. I owe the swear jar. You can catch him and Josh and the other guy on 96.5 The Fan for all of your Chiefs games. Pre-game show begins on Thursday morning. You know, looking back now that week one is in the books, I don't know. I just continue to get more impressed with our win on Thursday night against the Ravens. Like, that was a big-time win against a big-time opponent. And looking around the rest of the league, I feel like Baltimore's kind of going to be our challenger. Did you get that feel watching week one? Like, damn, that was a big win on Thursday night.
Oh, it was huge. The fact that they were able to, and it kind of lent itself to the understanding of Lamar Jackson's going to be Lamar Jackson. He's kind of got the Jordan rule thing where he's going to get his. You just hope that no one else gets theirs. And I thought that we did a great job defensively of shutting down Derrick Henry and not allowing, you know, too many big plays from wide receivers. The broken play to Isaiah Likely, like, that's going to happen. Nick Bolton out in the middle of space, that's not necessarily his forte to have to guard a tight end on an extended play like that, and they made a big play. But other than that, like, I felt like offensively we kind of controlled the game, and it kind of brings me back to a lot of the, you know, people that were kind of doubting the 0-3 preseason record and what we didn't accomplish in the preseason, and, you know, where that takes us in regards to predictions. And I would tell people, like, don't look at the scoreboard in the preseason. Look at whether when our ones were on the field, were we significantly better or significantly worse than their ones? And in all three games, the answer was no. We were as good or better than all three teams. So that's what you carry into the regular season. So it wasn't surprising that we would step up to the challenge of the Ravens, especially after the experience last year against the Detroit Lions. I feel like the guys were more relaxed. They didn't allow the emotions to get to them. They let the banner drop, the pregame festivities go, and then they were about their business and they handled it accordingly. So, yeah, you give props to the Ravens because they can be the second-best team in the AFC. That's fine. But we know we're the first.
Okay, we're talking to Danon Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver and Iowa Buckeye. Danon, I'm trying to get into your mind here real quick, because I feel like there's a lot of basketball analogy with Patrick Mahomes and his wide receivers, because I don't know what the status for Hollywood Brown will be for this Sunday against Cincinnati. But you got to think the whole analogy that you hear from basketball coaches is, I got a lot of guys, I don't have enough basketballs. Is that ever mm-hmm. going to be an issue for this Chiefs offense with the wide receiver play that we've seen from Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice? You throw Travis Kelce in there too, I guess, if you want to. But, you know, maybe this is a game where it's the Isaiah Pacheco game. I don't know. I go to you and your expertise when it comes to this receiving core.
I think in this instance, with the resume that we present, winning two straight Super Bowls, and then guys coming into this organization, whether it's by draft or by free agency, you know what you're signing up for. Like, that's literally it. And I feel like that's the message, whether it's coming from Andy Reid or Matt Nagy or Brett Veach when he's approaching these free agents or having guys sign extensions or re-sign with the team. You know what you're signing up for. From a defensive standpoint, if you're Felix, if you're George, if you're Mike Dana, and you see you're part of the rotation on defense and the safeties and Shamari Connor and Justin Reed and other players that rotate in and out from a wide receiver standpoint, even a tight end like Noah Gray, you know what you signed up for. You know that it's not going to be a high-volume offense for yourself. You know you're not going to come out of the game with 10 catches unless you're Rashee Rice and you're running crossing routes and intermediate routes, et cetera. But other than that, Hollywood Brown knows what he signed up for. Xavier Worthy is still going to get, you know, spoon-fed part of the offense and not necessarily be a guy that's going to be on the field 50 or 60 plays anytime soon. That's just not the nature of how we do things. And if you're a player, you can't argue it. You can hate it. You could want to be a high-volume guy for another team or watch some of your peers get 10, 12, 15 targets in a game, but they're not winning Super Bowls. So you know what you're in store for, and that's what we bring to the table. So I feel like these guys are mature enough to recognize that.
And let me be clear, I didn't mean to put disrespect on them. I meant Hawkeye. Just the Alani mixed with the coffee mixed with the waters got me on two different levels, Dana. Well, Hawkeye, not Buckeye. You know I'm not that guy.
I figured you were doing that because we lost to the Cyclones, but that was all right.
Here's what happens when you go for two. I had a guy at the Jay yesterday say to me, Dana, and he goes, what happened to Iowa? I go, ask what happens when you go for two. When you don't need to be going for two. Stupid ass coaching decision by your football team there. And as soon as it happened, Josh texted me, we lost. I mean, it was done right there. It happens every time these nincompoop head coaches go for two.
Well, it was ridiculous because if your offense, which we've kind of become accustomed to seeing, unfortunately, sputters down the field, like, what makes you think that you're going to, if you haven't been able to get third and twos and third and threes throughout the game, why would you even go for it on the 2 yard line to get a 2 point conversion? So it kind of, like, to me, you have to kind of go with the game plan to some extent. If you're struggling in the middle of the field, like, you're not going to get the 2 point conversion. So I'm not against the metrics in it, but I think, you know, you got to recognize the personnel that you're having at the time and the lack of success, and then make a business decision. But unfortunate, I was around a bunch of Hawkeye former teammates, and we had one guy who was a Cyclone, played against us back in the day, so he had bragging rights for the entire weekend, unfortunately. So
did you let him to the party for? Well, you can't let him to the party.
I know. We tried to put a little sleeping pill in his drink so he would get off our back, but that didn't help.
All right. Well, at least we know the AFC West is a bunch of turds and the Chiefs are going to win this thing going away, and we'll take care of business against the Bengals on Sunday afternoon.
Let's keep doing it.
Have a good call, Dana. We appreciate the time.
All right, guys.
Thank you. Dana Hughes joins us there. He is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Bob, Mac, damn it. It's always something with this guy that I just can't keep talking about. And this is what we'll talk about next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, are you waking up this morning with a sore shoulder or knees that are bothering, or maybe your hip hurt and you're like, I don't know what to do? Well, I'll tell you what, I've got the answer for you, because now you can use your own body's healing properties to revitalize your achy joints and get you lasting pain relief that's real. I'm talking about advanced regenerative medicine at QC Kinetics. If you're tired of arthritic pain in your knees or your hips or your back or your shoulder, this is something you need to check out, because everybody's talking about regenerative medicine, and the local medical professionals at QC Kinetics are experts in these amazing treatments. People here in Kansas City and all over the country are raving about the results. You can enhance your joints, improve your mobility, and get back to doing the stuff you love without the pain and without drugs or surgery or downtime. They've got tens of thousands of satisfied patients, and the consultation is totally free. So call them now. Take action to get lasting joint pain relief with help from QC Kinetics. 816-412-6299. That's 816-412-6299. QC Kinetics off 435 in State Line and in Gladstone. 816-412-6299.
Back in on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan.
your home for Kansas City sports. Executive producer Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. Always great to have you on this program as we truck along on a Tuesday.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Thursday, yeah.
I wish.
There's nothing worse than being a day ahead. You'd always want to be like that day behind because you start thinking it's Wednesday and then you get in your mind it's Wednesday and then you realize it's Tuesday.
It's like being a segment ahead and coming up at 8 o'clock, Royals legend Eric Hosmer will join the show. Fan of the show. Eventually we'll get people that will be, in the rafters or what we call the Hall of Fame of Fesco and Dusty. So far, nobody yet. Still a fresh show, but eventually.
Danon's in there.
Yeah, Danon could be in there. Mitch is probably in there. Max in there.
Sweet.
Some guy that's probably not going to be in Colorado's Hall of Fame is Deion Sanders. Look, man, let me be real with you. I love Deion. Deion Sanders is probably the only person that would have been in bounds for that last play of the Chiefs-Ravens game because he doesn't have a toe. And
do you still wear a shoe like that, or do you wear like a sawed-off shoe like that kicker used to wear back in the day?
I would have worn like a nub shoe.
Yeah, so because that way you would have been in bounds. Yeah.
No doubt about it. Yeah. And it seems like now we've gotten to the point where the shark we've jumped the shark in Colorado. And look, I'm being real with you. I'm gonna be honest. I said it yesterday. I will continue to forever wear my Colorado hoodie on Saturdays, but it's burning in a blaze of non-glory in Colorado because now we have been told per reports, and I can feel Mac's eyes rolling. That Deion Sanders has told the Colorado school band they can no longer play when the team scores a touchdown because that time is reserved for Shador Sanders' rap song.
Right. Well, only when Shador scores, they only can play his rap song.
Oh, gotcha.
When
everybody
else scores, they can play the fight song.
Ridiculous.
But when Shador scores, that's reserved for his own rap song. And this is where, people are ready to pounce on Deion. So every little thing that they do is going to be magnified. Mm. We're in that stage of the game. But I've been around this business a very long time to know that when coaches start to worry about stuff like this, that means they've lost it and they are done as that football coach or the baseball manager or something of that nature. When you start worrying about the minutiae and the stuff that really doesn't matter, that's when you know that you've lost control and it's probably time for Deion to move on. Plus, what this shows me, too, Deion's nothing but a grifter in this entire situation. Getting that job at Colorado to prop his sons up, which I have no problem with whatsoever, getting that NIL money for his kids, getting the education for his kids, but now demanding that the band plays Shador Sanders' song after he scores to try to get his son even more fame, it's the definition of a grifter. And he's got this great grift running right now over Colorado. And I know there's been a lot of enrollment that has gone up. And the university hit a really nice high last year with Deion Sanders. But how long does this last before Colorado has to look at themselves in the mirror and say, we're no better off today than we were 450 days ago before we hired Deion Sanders? Like, it was fun. It was cool. It was good. Now it's getting to the point where you're like, are you really here to coach football or are you here to give your sons the opportunity to take over a university and get all that NIL money? And I hate to say it, this band thing makes me think that it's more important for his sons to get their attention than him to do what's best for the Colorado football program.
You're creating division.
You really are.
When you need to be creating solidarity.
Yeah. And I'm with you, man. Like, I was in on this Deion thing.
Oh, I'm still there. I have to own it. Like, it's one of those things that, like, you know, I'll go down with the Royal Caribbean cruise ship whenever it does fall, you know, to the bottom of the sea. Hopefully it doesn't happen, but it will. If it does eventually, I'll be there on the deck.
You're not going to bail?
No. And, you know, with Deion and Colorado, look, I've invested too much and I would feel like a coward to jump ship, which means I feel like I'm okay to like neglect things that he does. Like the whole, like, the band will not play whatever Shador scores. They'll play his rap song. That's division. Your team needs to not be divided. It needs to be, you know, solidified as one. And you as the head guy, the voice of that university, whether it's basketball, football, whatever it may be, you are creating a bigger divide where you need to create more of a wholesome locker room. And eventually it's just going to get to the point where, like, you know, this year we're like, well, maybe he can get recruits to get that offensive line. That didn't happen. And there's a reason why that didn't happen. I think, you know, yeah, it looks shiny and it looks nice, but you get in there and that motor is really actually a piece of garbage because it doesn't run on anything except solo drive. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're seeing with this sort of thing. And the craziness that is.
Yeah, I mean, I really do. I think it's ridiculous that you're having a certain song played for your son versus everyone else when that's just not the way you build consensus. And that's the job of the head coach, right? Put people in position to be successful, build consensus, be a leader. Deion Sanders isn't being a leader. He's doing what he believes is best for his kids, but he's not doing what's best for the Colorado program. He's not doing what's best for the rest of the athletes on that Colorado football team.
Right.
And you're starting to see why all of these guys abandoned ship and left when Deion came in. And like I said, I wanted to root for Deion. I wanted this thing to work out well, but we can just see it crumbling right before our eyes. Mm-hmm. And it got me back into college football, the whole Deion Sanders experiment. And I am forever grateful for that. But now I'm looking at it and I'm going, probably not going to tune into a Colorado game until maybe they're playing Kansas. I mean, it's just not what he was a year ago. And this thing with his son in the band right now, like if you're a head football coach and you're worried about what music the band's playing, you got way too much time on your hands.
He's never been a leader. He's never been a coach. And this division thing starts before last season even started. He's going on ESPN shows talking about recruiting, talking about, yeah, well, you know, your defensive linemen, they got to be from a single mother family. Talking about, like, he's starting division from recruits. He's been this way since the beginning. You mentioned to Dusty, they are not better at one thing than they were last year. They've not improved at anything.
Nope.
Cool. Hunter and Sanders are going to carry us the rest of the way. We can't stop the run. We can't run the ball. Our trenches are terrible. Can't block anybody.
Right.
He sucks, man.
But I'll tell you this. You know,
I've been against him the whole time.
If you want to change a song for anybody, it should be Travis Hunter. He's the best player in college football. Like if he wants his own song to be played, that's fine.
Not
like,
the guy who shows up late to practice with his Lambo parked in two different spots.
Exactly.
Not that guy.
And exactly. That's the grift that Deion has going on right now. Like, you know, more power to him. And look, we'd all love to be in position to have our father set everything up for us. And you know, a lot of us would probably say this is jealousy coming through, but it's not. It would be one thing if Shador was playing good and the program was playing good and all that kind of stuff. This is a moribund program right now that Deion Sanders was in charge of trying to revitalize, and he's done nothing but run a classic grift for his own children. And he's really, I think, in my opinion, putting these other guys, I don't want to say in jeopardy, but you only have a certain amount of years of eligibility. And these guys went to Colorado thinking it was going to be A, and it's Z.
It's not good. It's not good. And to be incoherent to the situation of, you know what, maybe I should be focused on getting my team unified instead of getting my son some recognition if he scores a touchdown to play his rap music. That just screams idiocracy. And look, somebody on the text line says, Dusty, it's okay. Admit a mistake. That's better than sticking it out. I admit both. Like, Deion's not what I thought he was. You know, wins his first, what, three games last year? I told everybody that they would get their over of 3.5 wins last year. They did. I rode that high. It was nice. I took an alt spread against Nebraska last year. They beat the bricks off of Nebraska last year. It felt good. But again, I'll admit when Deion is wrong, and Deion's been wrong this entire year, the way he's handled the media, the way he's handled prepping for games, the way he handled the transfer portal, the way he's talked to his players, and now what he's doing with the celebration of end zone. So it's not great.
And a lot of times, too, in this business, when you're a coach or a general manager, it's good to build up favorability with everybody, and he's done none of that. There's nobody right now outside of that bubble that he has of his son and his immediate family that really has Deion Sanders back. And if this thing continues the way that it's going right now, there's going to be a hard decision that Colorado is going to have to make at the end of the season. And firing Deion Sanders, I can promise you, is probably not going to be a pretty thing for Colorado.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo. The Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But this is their MO. They just can't figure out that football program. It really is a shame to waste that beautiful environment in Boulder on a football team that looks like they should be playing a high school level team.
No doubt about it. Coming up on the other side, we are joined by Royals legend Eric Hosmer. He'll join Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.